Sanctify us in the truth, O God. Thy word is truth. Amen. When today's gospel opens, Jesus has just returned.
Oh,
that probably means he is Capernaum, and there is the synagogue from the 4th century in Capernaum, rather than Nazareth, where Mary and Joseph lived. Capernaum is right beside the Sea of Galilee, and in the very next chapter of Mark, Jesus teaches the crowds beside the sea. Crowds are ubiquitous here in the first chapters of Mark, and they are pesky to boot. So there are so many of them on this day that they cannot eat neither Jesus nor the 12 nor the crowd itself. Jesus attracted big crowds, and the crowd is also a rhetorical device here in Mark as well. Jesus is going to ask about family, and the crowd is juxtaposed right between Jesus and his mother and brothers. But before we get into that, the scribes who oppose Jesus, and not all the scribes oppose Jesus, by the way, but those who do begin by putting forth some fake news. Jesus can only cast out demons because he is in league with the demonic forces, so they say. Beelzebul, by name, is the chief demon. Some of them have even identified him with Satan himself. In fact, if you look him up in most English dictionaries, you will have that for the definition. It is more complicated than that, of course, but suffice it to say that the definitive word on this Lord of the Flies often changed depending upon the users and upon the context in which it was used. For instance, here in the Gospel, we read Beelzebul, with the last three letters, B-L-U, Lord of the Heavens. But if you look in the Hebrew Scriptures, and also our beloved King James Version, you see the misapprobation of Beelzebub, with the last three letters, B-U-B, Lord of the Flies, a pejorative naming of the Canaanite god Baal, because flies is just a euphemism for the stuff they were really talking about. This is all the entree that Jesus needs to teach them with a parable. Now, Mark, our gospel writer, didn't agree with the proper definition of the word parable. Usually when we think of parables, we think of those metaphorical stories that we puzzle about the meaning of, what Jesus is saying, what Jesus is getting at. But in Mark, while it might be a proper parable, it might also be just an allegory, perhaps, or an event, or a saying, as he was using the terminology today. Plus, they most often have a further function here in Mark. Mark uses parables to identify those who are faithful to Jesus and those who oppose him, which is exactly what is happening here. Jesus promptly sets about showing the opposing scribes why they are wrong. Plus, throwing a little dig in at the Herodians, too, the partners of the scribes who opposed Jesus. You see, Herod's imperial household was full of adultery and corruption and fake, lots of things. Herodians were definitely not among the faithful. They were dishonest, they were deceitful in just about every way. Jesus' point was that if Satan is divided, then Satan is done for. Yet clearly, Satan has a few more tricks to play against Jesus. And rather than being a divided household, Satan is the strong owner of the house, who has been bound by one who is stronger, namely the one who is casting out the demons. Jesus, the strong man that Martin Luther wrote about in his hymn, A Mighty Fortress. Unfortunately, the plumber seemed to overcome this strong one on the cross before it is all over. Yet Mark will present a divine drama. Satan will, in the end, will be the one who is bound. God, the divine victor, will persevere, and on the third day, God's enmity will overpower the cunning of the snake in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve will be forgiven for their disobedience, and the promise of restoration will be fulfilled for all of us and all of the cosmos. All will be forgiven, even blasphemy will be forgiven. God's divine mercy is so great that the Holy Spirit is working even now to free all those who are trapped by any evil forces.
God's Spirit is widely gracious in seeking a new family of hope. So, we're back to family again. And Jesus has turned the relationships upside down. Those who are insiders and family who are now outside the house. Those in the crowd who are left out are now family members. It is not a blood relationship that has created Jesus' family, but rather those who do God's will. In fact, the very people that accused Jesus of playing with demons are now outside the family of God. It is they alone who have blasphemed the work of the Holy Spirit. God's family is made up of the crowd surrounding Jesus, who seek to know God's will for their lives. It is the crowd of seekers who counts Jesus as his mother and his brothers and his sisters. And it is important to note that Jesus is treading new religious ground here. The old opponents were often at odds against the women folk, but Jesus includes both mothers and sisters along with the brothers in his family. Christ's vision is of a new family, both the men and the women, seeking the hope of the new age to come. This new family, with its newly transformed insiders, includes those who have been previously ignored and put on the sidelines. The new family is given the light of hope to reform as God's family. Jesus saw family as a good thing, but he redefined family to include those rejected by the old family values in place of a new vision for humanity. Family life is good when it accepts not only people like us, but broadens the vision to include those who are different from us as well. Jesus reframed the value of family as the community that does God's will with the broader purposes of the kingdom of God. God's family includes those in need of love and acceptance at a time when so many in our world are trying to exclude the little ones, the hungry folk, the simple people, the least of our sisters, the troubled of our brothers, those who have been rejected by others, those who have come from elsewhere, those who need a place to sleep, those who need help to overcome the so-called demons of this day and age, drug addiction, alcoholism, PTSD, mental illness, anger mismanagement, and of course you know that that list goes on much longer. Jesus envisioned a world where family was a metaphor for those people who needed to be included, where all are welcome, where God's great love and mercy create hope for lives in need. A family where we don't have to hide from God, but where we seek God out. God has already seen us naked. There are no surprises for God, except that seeing us in Christ's light, God's Spirit begins to work in and with and among us, to refashion us into people whose lives are holy, with hearts that are true. Amen. All families of our